Yeah. Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Shandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah, awesome. Okay, so many of you guys know I'm the children's pastor here, and I enjoy being with the kiddos, but every once in a while I get to come and speak to you. And today I get to, and I just want you guys to know, like, you are in for it today. Like, I am on cloud nine, because not only did I just get back from a 10-day missions trip motorcycling my way through northern Vietnam, right? That's why I got my jacket on today. And then we had an amazing small group, our first meeting for Good or God, which was just incredible. And then I just got back from a women's conference. And so like yesterday, late at night, and I'm like, I'm so on fire. So I wanted to bring sunglasses for all of you that you could put it on, because I'm going to spit Holy Ghost spit fireballs at you today. I'm so pumped up. God is so good. But yes, I'm here, and I wanted to be able to share my experience with you and what God taught me on this, because it wasn't what I expected at all. And I was like, as I was putting this message together for you guys, I was like, there's so many great, because Lewis and I were the film crew for this missions trip, and we got so many great images of it and the story that God put on my heart. I was like, I want to show like images the whole time I'm talking. How do we do that? I was like, forget it. I'm just going to make a video. So I made a really cool video, and then I'm going to get up after it, and because I think it explains the story best. But we had an amazing time. Lewis actually did a lot better than me, even though he hasn't had the road experience either, like me, on a motorcycle. But he's had some experience, and he did better than me. But it was really funny at one point, because our guide ended up having to put Lewis behind me in the line of us, because he kept watching me ride my bike because he was so worried for me. Isn't that sweet? I've got the best husband ever. Anyways, this is going to be awesome. Let's pray, and then I'm going to show you this video. Jesus, open up our hearts. We know you've got a special, special message for each person who is in this room. You have ordained this moment, and this word is for us, Lord. So we pray that you would do an amazing work in our hearts and speak to your people today. In your name we pray. Amen. Watch this.
When we were offered the opportunity to be the film crew for the Illinois Student Ministry's leadership team to Vietnam, we jumped at the chance to see what's happening on the mission field halfway across the globe. This was an adventure of a lifetime, but we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into. We were given two track choices months before the trip. Stay in the city of Saigon and spend time in the English speaking rooms of the Master's Cup Coffee House and get the opportunity to visit an orphanage. Or go the motorbike route. Me, with my love for long distance bicycling, said immediately, "Oh, this is a no-brainer. Let's motorbike." Now, let me just pause for a second. My husband and I made quite a few assumptions at this point of the decision process. We thought, since we were being offered this adventurous track, that it must be something that ordinary people like us can do. The bikes must be scooters with automatic transmissions. We assumed that people from the Illinois district go and do this sort of thing all the time. The terrain, we imagine, must be nice, flat, well-traveled, taking us from village to village. Easy peasy. We're good at capturing stories, and this will be a fun challenge to pack up our bikes with video gear to film the rural side of this amazing landscape. Ha ha. Well, our first clue that we might be in over our heads was when we were informed that we would need to pass an Illinois motorcycle safety course that would automatically give us our motorcycle licenses. Why do we ignore clues? We just said, okay, and signed up for the course, thinking, this is overkill, but sure, safety first. Motorcycle kindergarten, as our instructors referred to it, was surprisingly fun and nerve-wracking at the same time, especially for me, who had before the course had never driven a motorcycle and couldn't tell you what a clutch was for if my life depended on it. But after a week-long course of classroom instruction and testing our basic skills in a parking lot, I passed, feeling really cool, but had absolutely no real-life experience on the roads. Fast forward 3 weeks. I'm laying in bed the night before our airplane departs for Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. I can't sleep. I begin running worst-case scenarios through my head. What have I signed up for? I'm not qualified to drive a motorcycle. Why am I doing this for the first time in a foreign country? What if I die? So I did what any delusional person does when they can't sleep and it's 3:30 in the morning. I went to YouTube. I searched riding a motorcycle in Vietnam. Absolute worst thing to do. But the adventure that was about to unfold suddenly became all the more clear. Because cars are so expensive, the main mode of transportation in Vietnam are motorbikes. Everyone drives them. In the cities, it isn't uncommon to see a fiver, which is the term we came up for when we saw this. Driving in Vietnam was best explained to us as water flowing. There's no real rules, just go. And be slow and deliberate. There's no waiting your turn or stopping to be polite. Just honk your horn and go. And don't be unnerved by the honking. You're going to be honked at. Lots. It's just their way of letting you know that they're there and you probably need to get out of the way. Intersections sometimes have traffic signals, but they're usually just there as a suggestion. Imagine literally hundreds of bikes merging into a busy four-way stop, sprinkled with an occasional aggressive tour bus or taxi. There are scooters everywhere, loaded with building materials like 2x4s or large glass window panes, or bamboo crates filled with live chickens. It's complete organized chaos. And this is just the city. So about 48 hours later, after flying halfway around the world, I find myself in a hotel room in the northern city of Hanoi for my third sleepless night in a row. It's nighttime. I'm peering out the window from the fifth floor, staring at this intimidating sea of traffic and noise that I'm about to enter. No turning back now. But I have to admit, I prayed fervently that God would give our tour guide wisdom to tell me no and send me back to the hotel if I wasn't fully qualified. And so the time came, the next morning. We loaded up our equipment, bungeed everything to the back of our bikes, put on some protective gear, and headed out in a single file line. There were eight of us. Our Vietnamese tour guide, Tone, was at the head, and our experienced bike riding missionary at the back. Our instructions were to not pass each other, but stay in line and try to keep up. My body was tense. For about an hour, we maneuvered our way through the city until finally we hit some open highway. All along the way, I reviewed these thoughts in my mind. Be slow and deliberate. You're going to be honked at. Just stay to the right and get out of their way. Stay in line and keep up. Throttle's on the right. Have your right hand and foot ready to brake. Left hand over the clutch. Shift gears up, now shift gears down. Over and over again, I'm speaking to myself, trying to focus, being aware of any and all possible escape routes, playing out scenarios of what could quickly become an obstacle. I felt the buses and semis whizzing past us, the breeze through my helmet. I was doing it. I silently shouted, "I'm riding a motorcycle in Vietnam." Wait, don't get cocky, and I'd review my training again. Be slow and deliberate. You're gonna be honked at. Throttle on the right, clutch on the left. Where are my escape routes? Now, how many people can say their very first road experience driving a motorcycle was a 9-hour tour in a foreign country their first day? Talk about being thrown into it. We experienced city driving, highway traffic, a little bit of rain, and then the roads became more like pathways as we left civilization into the farming villages. We were down to one lane, sometimes just dirt or gravel roads, that would suddenly become overcome with huge potholes. Vehicles were passing us from behind, while oncoming traffic did the same, overtaking our lane completely. There were children walking home from school saying, "Hello, hello," dogs chasing alongside us, and chickens crossing the road. But then, my favorite of all, a few hours into the rural parts of northern Vietnam, we turned a sharp corner and approached our first herd of water buffalo crossing the road. Clutch in, I'm going slow and deliberate as an opening between two huge sets of horns became available. It's in this terrain that I remembered the words from my motorcycle safety instructor, "Ride your own ride." It made much more sense now. There are times on your bike that you're going to have to make a split-second decision to swerve to the left or to the right. Just following the guide in front of me wasn't going to be the safest decision for me. Actually, in some cases, choosing the same path as the person in front of you is dangerous. To avoid that pothole, chicken, buffalo, or oncoming traffic, I was just going to have to ride my own ride. It was dark when we finally arrived at the first homestay, a primitive open-air lodge seated on stilts by the river. We showered, ate potato soup, spring rolls, and a bunch of other delicious food, then fell exhausted into our mosquito net-covered beds. I thanked God that I was alive, and I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, just 4 more days of this. I can do this, I tried to convince myself as I drifted into a deep sleep. Now don't be deceived. My first day wasn't without incident. I dumped my bike 3 times. Once taking a turn too slowly, I fell, hyperextending my elbow. Confusing my throttle for the brake, I ran myself into a tree where I ripped my jeans, bruised my leg, and totally destroyed my right boot, which our Vietnamese tour guide so graciously glued together and fixed for me. Another time, caught daydreaming, I just stalled out on a hill and laid the bike down like a pro. Heart racing, pride plummeting, each time I made myself get back up on that bike. What other choice did I have? Just calling it quits would have left me alone in a land where I can't speak the language and had no idea how to get back home. Plus, I didn't want to hold up my fellow bike riding companions, all who seemed to be more experienced than me. About day 3, I began to catch my stride. Feeling a bit accomplished, my confidence grew as we continued into the mountains. Have you ever had one of those moments where you think you've reached the top? You think, I've arrived. It's all downhill from here. Well, again, my pride was challenged as I learned the necessity of downshifting on steep inclines. We were twisting and turning on switchbacks, engine braking down the declines, climbing inclines laced with boulder-sized gravel, and having to grip the brake tightly to keep from rolling down the mountainside after stalling out. I dumped my bike again, a few more times. You definitely don't learn this stuff in motorcycle kindergarten. It became extremely apparent why we were on dirt bikes and not scooters. I hear the view was breathtaking at times, but I wouldn't know. My eyes were glued to the road for most of the trip. But when we stopped on the side of the road for a break, we saw sights like this. I was awestruck. How big and amazing and creative our God is to have crafted such beauty. So yeah, all of this was great. The food, the sightseeing, the adventure. But we were beginning to question our purpose. Weren't we on a missions trip? There's nothing out here that resembles a church for days. Where is the story that we're supposed to capture? Who are we ministering to? Is there really nothing established out here yet? Is this completely unreached ground? Now, Vietnam is a communist country, meaning that most everything is monitored and controlled by their government. In order to protect our missionaries from any trouble, we were told not to refer to them as missionaries and not to let anyone think we were pastors on a missions trip. It's not against the law to be a Christian in Vietnam, but attempting to convert someone to your religion is not permitted. You can imagine that makes the work of the church very difficult. We asked our missionary guide about this obstacle and how he hopes to proceed with God's calling when at a moment's notice his visa could get denied. He explained that it's all about getting to the right places and establishing one-on-one relationships. And relationships take time. Immediately, the Holy Spirit reminded me of these words, "Be slow and deliberate." I began to realize that this was no flash-in-the-pan line of work. If the love of God is going to reach these rural places, Vietnam needs people who are willing to commit for the long haul financially, and people who are willing to love this place enough to plant themselves here long term. This is slow work. Motorbikes with a mission. This is what our missionaries are calling this new ministry. It's how the deliberate side of things is playing out here. The plan is that relationships will be developed with future Vietnamese partners to build and maintain homestays as businesses across the country, but also use these places as outposts to serve the communities and connect individuals to the love of God. Motorbikes with a Mission will be key to traveling between these outposts and keeping the ministry alive. It was like a bright light turned on inside of me. For the next several days, I laid my urgency to capture a traditional mission story aside, as I just rode my bike through more mountains, more villages of waving children, and past the most beautiful scenery you can imagine. As I pondered the many practical lessons I had learned making my way through Vietnam, I realized that God was teaching me far more than how to ride a motorcycle. He was teaching me something about being slow and deliberate as I ride my own ride through life. This scripture came to mind. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I don't think it matters where you're from, Vietnam, the U.S., or any other place. It's natural to conform to your culture. But God wants so much more for all of us. He wants transformation. He's looking for people to rise up out of what society pressures them to be and begin consulting Him on what He's called them to be. He wants us to ride our own ride, led by Him. And for each of us, it's going to look different. In the Western world, we like everything fast and immediate instead of valuing the slow and deliberate approach. Unfortunately, this usually means our faith is a mile wide and an inch deep. There's something to slowing down, making time for God, consulting Him daily, reviewing what He's taught us, and continually speaking His word over our lives, so that in a moment's notice, we will be ready to swerve to the left or to the right. And we need this everyday course correction for our minds. So easily in life, we stall out, tip over, and take unexpected falls. People are going to honk at us a lot. The enemy is out to confuse, distract, and get us daydreaming. There will be unexpected obstacles in our way. We will make the mistake of following too closely to someone else's ride and get into a wreck. This is why daily and continual renewing of our minds is necessary for us to be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And just like learning to ride a motorcycle, nothing sharpens our discernment than real life application. I want to finish by giving you the same scripture, but in the Message version. If you take anything away from the story, I hope it's this. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. And my hope is that you'll slowly and deliberately rise out of conformity and ride your own ride towards a transformed and renewed mind in Christ Jesus. Coming back to the United States after this experience was a bit of culture shock for us. Right away, we felt like our freedoms and luxuries just couldn't be taken for granted anymore. How could we take lightly the light of the world when so much of our world lives in darkness? How can we stay silent and unmoved by the Spirit's leading when there's so much work to be done?
God wants so much more for all of us. He wants transformation. He's looking for people to rise up to be what He's called them to be. He wants us to ride our own ride. And what does it mean for us to ride our own ride? I just want you to know, as I was riding the motorcycle through Vietnam, I couldn't help, once I finally got past all of my fears and my nervousness, like, oh my goodness, the most scary, dangerous thing I've ever done in my entire life, but the most thrilling and the most amazing adventure that I've ever been on in my entire life. And the whole time I was there, I mean, I was thinking about this place, and I was thinking about village after village that we were going through, and these people who had no Jesus, had no hope, a love of the Lord, hope of the Lord, no churches there for them, and how here in America we have so much. There's churches on every corner, and we have the freedom to be able to speak freely about God, and I started to think about you guys. As I was on that motorbike, I couldn't get my mind. Yes, I was there in Vietnam, and my heart was bleeding for the mission that was there, and I was so grateful to have that experience. But God was putting you guys on my heart. He was putting Bloomington Normal on my heart. He was putting our nation on my heart, because I was realizing that with all of our freedoms and all of our luxuries that we have, we're passionless. You know, we ride other people's rides, or we just kind of conform to the pattern of this world, and we're not rising up, and we're not passionate. Sometimes we are, but for the most part, I looked at even my own self, and I said, what am I doing in this life? There's been moments when the Lord has really called me to do something for him, and I got to see his power and his glory shining through that. But then I just kind of veer off, and I get a little bit wayward. So what does it mean for us today to ride our own ride? It means to have an authentic relationship with him that's passionate and all out. Because when you receive salvation in Jesus, can you be quiet about it? Like, if you really understand that he went to the cross for you, that he died for you, that you are saved from your sin, that you are forgiven, and that you have the hope of the world at your disposal to speak life into your life, all you need to do is open up his word or go to him in prayer, and he's got an answer for you. He's got a solution for you. You can't help but to get excited about that. You can't help but to rise up. And I want us to be transformed. I want there to be a revival in this place and in this church. I think God is looking for people who are willing to stand up and say, I don't care what anybody thinks. I am going to follow the Lord's calling. The Lord has placed something on my heart. He has given me a passion. He has saved me, and I cannot stay silent. There's so many Christians that believe in God, but they don't believe God. They believe that God exists and everything that they've been taught, but they don't believe that God can save them. They don't believe that God has saved them. They don't believe that they can trust in God to get them through their struggles. We believe in God, but we don't believe God to do what he says that he will do and what he's already done for us. And God wants so much more for us. He wants more for us than having just this like feel-good experience. Oh, I watched a really cool video on the screen. Wasn't that nice? Or, you know, oh, that was really nice for them that they had that experience. Yay. Or I'm going to go on a missions trip. And wow, isn't that neat to see that? God wants more for us, that he wants a renewed mind and a transformed life. And it's more than just going to church every Sunday, right? It's about getting passionate about it in your workplace, in your home, in your everyday life, engaged with the Father, listening to his voice, reading and applying his word, sharing your faith with others. I want to put the scripture again on the screen. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I love this. We can test and approve what God's will is. I don't know about you, but there's been moments in my life where I'm like, God, what is your will? I can't figure it out. And he says, I've got my word for you, but also I've given you discernment. But if you've got to lean in to me. You've got to renew your mind, and that takes action, right? That's going to take action from us to go after what God has got for us and to lean into his spirit and his leading. But some of us today, we're facing some really scary obstacles, right? For me, for those of you guys who know, it was just like a year and a half ago, I finished up my last round of chemotherapy from breast cancer, and that was a big, scary obstacle that was in my way, and I was unsure of what was going to come of it. But the Lord had already placed in my heart his word. He had already placed in my heart, through going to Christian school my whole life, through reading his word, that I had hope already stored up in there, and he spoke hope to me, and he's like, I've got you. You don't have to fear. And for some of you guys, you have some big, scary obstacles in front of you right now. You don't know. Your world might be falling apart. The plans that you've had for your life, they are no longer. That person that was right there for you and you leaned on them, they are no longer there. And you're just dying inside. There's a lot of obstacles that are in our way, and it is scary. And let me tell you, the biggest obstacle for me when I went to do this motorbike experience was getting on the bike in the first place, because I did the whole like motorcycle like course, you know, and that was safe and I was on a parking lot, but it was going into the real world and realizing there were some scary things that were unknown to me. But getting on that motorcycle was the hardest obstacle that I had to overcome. But after I did it and I got on and I got into it, and it was frightening, and yes, I fell a lot. But after I got into it, I realized, I'm so glad I did this. I'm so glad I took this risk. I'm so glad, because I would have not experienced this amazing adventure. And I'm telling you guys that today, there's a big, scary obstacle in front of you. Maybe you want to grow deeper in your faith, but you are afraid to reach out and find a mentor. You're afraid to sign up for that Bible study that's been offered week after week because you don't know those people, and that's something you've never done before. It's a big, scary obstacle that's in your way. There's an adventure waiting at the other end. Maybe for you, you aren't even a believer. Maybe you have come to church for a long time, and it is scary for you because you realize that I'm not even sure if I'm a Christ follower. I'm not sure if I've got everything answered inside my head, and I need somebody to answer these questions for me, but you're scared. And the fear has overcome you because you don't want to look foolish. People think I'm a Christian already. I don't know. I can't ask those questions. But God has answers for you. He has a calling for you. He has an exciting adventure for you, and you just need to go. Yeah, you're going to stall out. You're going to stall out if you don't do this, if you don't step out and take this adventure and rise up and go after him and ride your own ride. You're going to be unable to swerve to the left and the right when troubles come. You're going to fall. You're going to stall out. And if your life has stalled out now, and if you have feel like you have fallen and all the pieces are just broken, it may be that you need to ride your own ride to Jesus. He's got an adventure that is perfect and is lined out just for you. Nobody else. It doesn't look like anybody else's ride. A lot of times we may try to ride and follow after some spiritual leader's ride and say, oh, if I could just do it that way and say it the way they say it and do the things they do, then I'm going to have it all figured out. But God is saying, I want more from you. I want you to have your own story, your own adventure. I want you to follow after me passionately, because I have an adventure that's unique for you. This is what I want you guys to do. We're going to have a time of response, but I want you guys to kind of stand as I continue to finish here. So everybody, if you would stand with me. I was just doing some thinking this week about you. And I feel like there's somebody in this room who has a former pastor or a former spiritual leader that has been in your life that has fallen into some sort of sin. And because of that, your faith has been shaken to the core because you've been following too closely behind that person, and you put your faith in an imperfect being. But today, God is saying, ride your own ride. Maybe there's somebody in here who's been drugged to church their whole life, and their parents' faith has been the only faith that you've known, and you have no faith really of your own. Today, God is saying, ride your own ride. Maybe you're friends with unbelievers. There's somebody in here who's living a life that's going out with their friends that are not believers, and they're living a life that is in direct contradiction with God's word. And you know it. But today you say, no more. I'm going to ride my own ride. Maybe you're feeling feelings of jealousy of someone else's giftings or calling, and you're wishing you could be more like them. And today, you need to realize that you are unique and you have unique value in Jesus Christ. Ride your own ride. Today, you may be feeling feelings of jealousy. Today, you may be feeling like you're stuck and you don't have any way, any direct route to Christ. And you want to grow and you don't know where to go and you're seeking for the right answers and you need to join a Bible study. You need to join a group of people, but you're full of fear about it. Ride your own ride today and go after God, wholeheartedly passionate. Maybe there's somebody in here who has had a calling at a young age to go into ministry full time, but because life has taken its toll, you've gone a whole nother direction and you haven't followed that young calling when you were a young person. I'm saying today, remember that calling, be filled with God, go after him and ride your own ride. Maybe you felt the Spirit's leading to invite a friend to coffee and to talk to them about coming to church with you and to speak about your faith to them. You're nervous. God is saying, be obedient. Be confident today and ride your own ride today. I'll tell you this. Experienced bikers, and there may be some in here who are great at riding motorcycles and maybe kind of laughing at my story a little bit, like, oh wow, that's not that dangerous. But I don't know about you guys, but when you try something new and you're a little bit unsure of it, it's scary. And I was so terrified because I was having to think so much about what am I doing with my hands? What am I doing with my feet? And I want you to know that your life in Christ is the same way. It can be really, really scary. And sometimes God is calling you to do something that is outside of your comfort zone. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to experience him. And it may be the very most dangerous and scary thing you've ever done in your life, but I guarantee you it will be the most fulfilling and the most amazing adventure that you will ever take, is to go after him, to ride your ride to Jesus and follow after him. He is a worthy, worthy God. So what I want you to do, I want you to listen to these words one more time. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't be overcome and so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize that what he wants from you, and I want you to respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops wealth, more maturity in you, and he's got a plan for you. He's got a transformation for you.
Yeah. Father God, we praise you today. We praise you today. We praise you today. Lord, would you just show us a little bit more of your glory? Show us your glory today. We need to be filled with your presence so that our world will be able to see your presence, that we might be able to experience the adventure and the fullness of life that you have for us. No more lingering and conforming in the patterns of this world. But Lord, we will be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And that's going to take action, God, and we want to go actively towards you. There may be somebody in here today that has never given their life to Christ, and I have a prayer for you right now. If you just want to pray this with me, you can. Lord, I've never surrendered my life to you before, but today I want to ride my own ride. I don't have the full understanding of what this whole Christianity thing is all about, but I know what I feel right now, and I feel your presence, and I want more of that. So Lord, I'm going to actively seek after you. I'm going to talk about what you're doing in my life. But right now, Lord, I am going to invite you to be Lord of my life, and I am going to follow after your ways and start this adventure with you. I give my life to you, Christ. And some of you today have been following God for many years, but you've had your moments of just drought. And I say to you today, would you pray this prayer with me? God, would you fill us? Would you fill us with your presence, with your power? Would you transform us, God? Would you renew our first calling again? Would you reveal to us what it is that you have for us right here in this community, right here in this nation? And would you fill us with a boldness as you transform us for you? That we would not be silent any longer about what you've done for us, but we would be a people who rise up with joy in the fullness of who you are. We love you, Jesus. And slowly and deliberately, we are going to ride our own rides. In your precious and holy name, we pray. Everybody said, amen. Give God a hand clap. He's worthy.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.